Galilee, John chapter 4, verse 46, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him, and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down here, my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word. That's a very key phrase there. We'll come back to that. But the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth. And himself believed, and his whole house. This is, again, the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. I'm going to pray really quick, and we're going to get right into it tonight. Dear the Father, it says that, Lord, you would take control of these lips of clay, Father, and, Lord, that you would let what is needed to be said and what is not needed to be said, keep it out of my mouth, Father. Thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for bringing us here. Just help us as we open up your word. We want to grow closer to you. We want you to teach us and show us. Send your Holy Spirit that we be yielded to listen and hear what the Spirit's trying to tell us. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so we kind of hit this last week, but there were still a little bit I wanted to kind of go over again. When we're looking at this, last week we were talking about he left his child. Okay, this nobleman, you know, a lot of times we look at it, well, he didn't have faith. No, he had more faith than some of us.
Because
he went straight to the source as soon as he heard that Jesus was come back into town. He went straight to the source. Because if you remember, Jesus was just at the feast of Jerusalem. So now he's traveling from Jerusalem, and we're gonna have to get those maps. Brother Dennis has a couple maps, and we'll have to get them up so we can point things out, because it's very interesting. But you take a look at this nobleman. We don't know exactly what position he held. A lot of people say, different commentators, they say that he could have been a government official. A lot of people say he was probably an officer in Herod's service. Okay, but what we do know is as soon as Jesus came back into town, and they didn't have cell phones. I'm just going to say that now. They didn't have cell phones. I'm pretty sure we didn't even really have envelopes with stamps at that time. Okay, we're going to go back in history here. But when he heard through whatever channel it was, whether he had a man waiting over there, as Jesus came in to hear about news from Jesus, and he'd have to ride all the way to go tell him, whatever the case may be, we don't know how he knew that Jesus came back into town, but as Jesus came back into town and he heard about it, he said, I'm gone. Even though my child's sick, even though my child's dying, I'm gone. I'm going to the Savior. That's where I need to be. But I want to draw your attention. I want to draw your attention tonight. Over here, down at verse number 50, Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. This next phrase is very important because it actually ties in with verse 53 and what we learned about in John chapter 3. So it says, And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Okay? But then you've got a phrase. If you look in verse number 53, it says, So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. We would almost look at this like a contradiction. Wait, but he believed up here. Why is he believing down here? That's a contradiction. No, it's not. Remember, when Nicodemus came to Jesus and Jesus told him, You have to be born of... Does anyone remember what Jesus told Nicodemus he had to be born of? He had to be born of water?
Water and bread.
And what?
Spirit.
Blood.
Spirit. Spirit. He said you had to be born of water and of spirit. Okay? The water, we talked about how whenever you've got a pitcher of water, it's leading back to Jesus. Jesus also mentioned in First John chapter 5, verse number 7, I'm almost positive. Let's all flip there, and we'll double check if Tim has it right. Oh, not 7. No, wait, yeah, 7. I got it right. I had it right on the money. Okay, 1 John 5, 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. First, so who is the Word?
The Word is Jesus.
The Word is Jesus. So you have to believe the Word, and then you got to believe on Jesus. Because that's why he told Nicodemus, you're born of water and of the Spirit. Of water, because you've got to hear the Scripture. You've got to hear John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You've got to hear, so there's other scriptures you can go off of. You don't have to hear John 3:16, that's just the most known. But you're born of the Word, and you're born of the Spirit. Okay? When you get born of the Spirit, that's you trusting Jesus for what he did. We went over that a couple weeks on John chapter 3. But when you're looking at this, he says he believed the Word. He believed what Jesus said. The words that Jesus spoke, he believed it. He believed it so much that he turned around and walked away from Jesus. After he came all the way to say, Jesus, I need you. He believed that his son was going to be healed. He believed it. Jesus said it. Jesus, hey, I've already heard what he did down with the water into wine. That was the first miracle Jesus did. And he most likely heard of that fame. And he's like, hey, Jesus did that. Jesus can turn that kind of water that we would not want turned into wine. If he can turn that kind of water into wine, he can definitely heal my son. That's why it said that he believed. He believed what Jesus spoke right then and there. He did not necessarily believe that he was the Messiah yet, though. Remember, the way that we get saved is we look to a Messiah that died upon the Calvary to pay our way to go to heaven. In this day, he had to trust that Messiah was going to come. That's what everyone in the Old Testament, they looked to Jesus, we look back to Jesus. Okay, everyone gets saved the same way. There's not a special way of getting saved. I know when I was growing up, when I was in church, we'd go through the Old Testament, and maybe you guys never did this, but I used to be at a church where we go through the Old Testament, and it talks about, oh, well, they did this, and that's what got them saved, or they did this, and that's what got them saved. No, they did the same thing that you and I do. We look back to Jesus, they look to Jesus, because it all through Scripture, it always points to Christ. Back Isaiah was the one where Jesus you get your famous unto us a child is born, unto us a king is given, a son is given. But you go based off that, and Isaiah, God was saying this is what's going to happen. Isaiah trusted looking to Jesus. We're looking back to Jesus. We're all getting saved the same way. There's not a special way they got saved in the Old Testament versus the New Testament. We all get saved the same way. So this nobleman, he believed what Jesus had said. He walks away. He goes home. Okay? Then, when he gets home, and actually, before he gets home, because the servants came and met him. So he's not even home yet. The servants come to him, and they tell him, hey, your son, he's alive. He's like, okay, well, when did this happen? It happened about the 7th hour. So he's like, okay, that's exactly when I was talking with Jesus. That means Jesus healed my boy, just like he said he would, which he already believed that. But now he says to himself, oh, that really is the Messiah. That's the one that was promised to us so long ago. So now, at this point, that's where he gets his whole household together and he says, hey, the Messiah is over there. He is coming. We have to trust him. And that's why you've got there in verse 53 at the end of it, himself believed and his whole house. Everybody believed on Jesus there. That's the second miracle, as the Bible even states here. Okay. But that's the second miracle here that is found in the book of John. As we go through the book of John, I'm going to point out about 7 different miracles that I really want to hit home on. But That's the end of the second miracle that Jesus does here. Is there any questions really quick before I go on? Or comments? Okay. I want you to see two different things right here with the nobleman before we do proceed. Number one, the nobleman knew who to run to, not where to run to. It's a very big difference. He knew who to run to, not where to run to. Who was he running to? He was running to Jesus. He wasn't running to an area. If I get everything lined up and I get over here, I get to this good church, No, he's running to Jesus. You know, there's going to be times. Now, I'm not saying, I don't want it to ever happen. I don't want churches closing at all. But if the doors to this church building closed, I would still want every one of us here to run to Jesus, not to the church. Just because a church closes doesn't mean you have to close your heart on Jesus. It is a personal walk. You walk with the Lord every day. You walk with Him by spending time with Him, by praying, getting up early, praying when you don't want to. You ever want something scary to you, you pray and ask Jesus to wake you up at night so you can talk to Him, and He will. And you better talk to Him because He wants to talk to you. You don't have to do it every night, but you should have some time. You should have your own walk with God. Yes, right. He wants you to come to church. Yes, He wants you to meet with other believers and have that fellowship. But more than that, He wants a relationship with you. If you never stepped foot in a church building again, don't do that. But if you never did, I'd still want you to walk with Jesus. I'd still want you to pick up this Bible, read a little bit. I'd still want you to take some time and talk with Him.
Real quickly, if I could interject. Talked here recently with a lady, and she was giving me a little bit of her life story, and I asked her, you know, she could tell me about her testimony of salvation. And she started going off about how she believes that God was calling her to do good things, and so she's been doing these good things, and certain televangelists that she just absolutely loves, and the only guy that she'll listen to, so on and so forth there. And it reminded me, when you were talking about there, how she's definitely, in my humble opinion, she's definitely not got her eyes on Jesus. She's got her eyes on people. She's got her mind set on, okay, this is what this guy says, and she literally told me every one of his sermons is encouraging, and he preaches at just the right pace for me. He doesn't get excited. He doesn't say anything bad or nothing else. And I'm biting my tongue because I don't want to cause a problem since I just met her and all that. But it's like sugar-coated preaching is going to be sending so many people to hell. Because they are looking at the church, the building. They're looking at the size of the crowd. They're looking at the man up there behind the pulpit. And they're not looking to Jesus. And even though I tried taking her through the way of the master, and now even Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good?" Right over her head. And the more I kept talking about how, you know, we need Jesus, the more I could see the look on her face like, "You're not lining up with my preacher." And simply because we're recording this, I won't say his name, but I'm sure a couple of you got a good idea about who I'm talking about. He ain't around here. It's people just not looking in the right direction.
Keeping the eyes on that which doesn't matter.
Yep.
Yeah, there's too many of them on TV now. They want people, you know, send money. The Lord doesn't say send money to the churches, you know. That's not the way to follow it. This is the way to follow it.
Scripture. I jotted down just one verse. One verse of how the old man knew who to run to. You go to 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, that is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take our care and make it prayer. You know, it's something where it doesn't matter if it's the littlest thing. And if for some reason praying is hard for you, that's okay. It should be hard for everybody. It's a spiritual practice that we are doing when we pray. It's something that it does not feel right because we've got this thing called flesh that fights against us. And that it's a practice, though, of us being able to get close to God, being able to be in communication with God. I think you guys probably heard many preachers say it before, but I'll say it because many preachers say it, so it must be good. But this Bible is how God talks to you.
Yep.
We talk to God through our prayers.
Yep.
Very simple. I know plenty of times I've told people the way that me and you have a conversation, we close our eyes, bow our head. Same way we have communication with God. You don't even have to close your eyes. King David didn't close his eyes. You go through the book of Psalms, and King David is lifting up his voice and lifting up his eyes to heaven. Daniel opened the windows 3 times a day. It never says that he bowed down and closed his eyes. He opened up the windows.
Yeah, not much point opening those windows if you close your eyes.
Yeah. So when you take a look at it, you know, you don't have to come before, no, just come and talk to him. He's your father. If you grew up with a dad, or if you grew up with a mom, and you ever wanted to talk to your mom, or these little ones, that whenever I get home, they want to do stuff. They either want to play games, or they want to go flying. You want to go flying, Josiah? He wants to go flying, not him. But that's stuff that they want to do. That's how they spend time with daddy. The same way as how you spend time with your Heavenly Father. He wants you to read this book. He wants you to tell him your care. Take your care and make it prayer. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Can I interject one more thing there?
What?
Something to challenge you. And this is, would probably, this it, for me, definitely, I know it has been, you know, I'm an introvert and all that. But something I would try challenging all of you to do. One of these next times you stop to pray, start off by telling them who it is that's praying. Lord, it's me, Dennis, again. Honestly, you pick up the phone and you're calling someone. Hey, it's me, Dennis. Hey, just wanted to say hi to you. I know you're my kid, you know, so I'm dad, I'm mom, whatever the case is there. He's your dad. Go ahead and identify yourself to him. Yeah, he knows who you are. But then again, he also knows everything you're going to say to him already. He already knows all of your problems already. But make it a personal conversation by identifying who you are to him. Try it. It'll feel weird the first time or two, but it's also going to make it a bit more real to you as well.
Going off of that too, just like he said, he already knows everything that you're going to say before you even say it to him. But he still wants that time to hear you tell him.
Yep.
I may know everything that he did that day, whether it's bad or good. Okay, I get someone tells me what happened.
I wonder who.
But I hear it. But I still come and I say, what'd you do in school? What was it you did in school? And then he'll go up and grab his craft, or he'll pull me up the stairs. That's the same way with your Heavenly Father.
Yep.
Exactly the same. God instituted a relationship first with God with man. It was Adam and God. Okay? Then he said, Adam, you can't be alone. You got to have your spouse. Okay? Then came kids. But God instituted all these relationships, and he did it on purpose so that we could see how our Heavenly Father is with us. Every way that you think your earthly father is, your Heavenly Father wants that plus more. I went over it last week even, and I mean, it's just a good one to go over is in Luke chapter 11. If you know how to give good gifts, if your earthly father know how to give good gifts, how much more will your Heavenly Father? Your Heavenly Father wants to do so much more. As even at my best of being a father to my kids, it doesn't even compare. If you were to say, okay, here, Tim is being the best father in the world, that still doesn't even compare to how God wants to be with us. But a lot of times, the cares of the world get us. The fleshly desires, the TV shows, the you name it. Okay, I'll do something simple. The yard work, you know, the things that grab our attention. When God says, I'd like for you to take this book, sit down, maybe read a little bit, then maybe just talk to me about it. Doesn't have to be something scary and I have to make sure. If you can just give 5 minutes, God wants that 5 minutes. God's happy when we spend time with Him.
Sometimes people are scared to talk to God because of the way their fathers treated them their lives, or their mothers or whatever. So sometimes not coming to God is not, it's not a, I don't want to, it's like, I'm afraid to. And they use the verse, you know, sometimes people have that verse, like, you know, you need to fear God. You don't fear God in the fact that you're scared of Him. You fear God in the fact that you respect Him, you reverence God. So that being said, is God, I don't know what Bible verse it says, God wants to hear you. Just like, I want to hear Emily read her little words. I want to talk to my husband. I want him to talk to me. I want to hear Josiah tell me his goofy stories and his funny sounds that he makes. But God is not looking to thump you on the head, like, oh, you talk too much. I don't want to hear you. Get away from me, kid. You know, God loves us. The Bible tells us that God loves us so much that He gave His Son to die for us. So, you know, that's a love that no earthly parent can express. So, even if you had the best parents, God still wants to, He still wants to show you His love, and He wants to communicate with you. But sometimes people are scared to go to God because of the problems they had. Don't be afraid of God in a fearful way like that, because He loves you, He wants to bless you, He wants to be there with you, He wants to have that relationship with you.
Going based off of that, you know, 1 John chapter 4, verse number 10 popped in my head. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You know, there is no way to even pen down how much God loves us. And if you were to even get to just the top, just the bare minimum, it'd be dropping a bucket. We could never compare to just how much God loves us. And you know, I don't know exactly how we jumped all around here tonight, but I think God wanted us to. I don't think we jumped around without a purpose. I think God, someone, maybe me, needed to hear it tonight. That God does love us, and He wants that time with us. You know, you hear everything that's going on with Israel and all the crazy events of the world and everything. But you know, I wrote down, it's not on this one, but I wrote down, God wants to put us between a rock and a hard place because He wants us to turn to Him. Not because He wants us to get hurt and wants us to fail the Christian life, but because He loves us so much that He says, I want you to choose me. Over everything else that's going on, I want you to still choose me. We're gonna definitely come back next week, but we're gonna come back to John chapter 5 and we're gonna go over the next miracle, the third miracle that we're gonna look at as our study through the book of John. But you know, if I could leave us all with one challenge from tonight, I challenge us to spend some more time this week with God. Maybe you only spent 5 minutes in prayer this week. Spend 6. Maybe you only read your Bible once this week. Read it twice. Pick two different days. Do something to spend more time with your Savior. He loves you, and he wants that time with you. Close us out with a prayer, Dennis.